Good evening. I ask that you turn with me to Deuteronomy and chapter 33, and we'll read a rather lengthy portion of scripture. I'll begin reading from verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 18. And Zebulun, and of Zebulun he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar in your tent. They shall call the peoples to the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. For they shall partake of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures hidden in the sands." And of Gad he said, "Blessed is he who enlarges Gad, who dwells as a lion and tears the arm and the crown of his head. He provided the first part for himself, because a lawgiver's portion was reserved there. He came with the heads of the people. He administered the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel." And of Dan he said, "Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan." And of Naphtali he said, "O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess the west and the south." And of Asher he said, "Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, 'Destroy.' Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also droop dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people served by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places." This evening, what I seek to do is to spend the next few moments meditating upon verse 25. "Your sandals shall be iron and bronze, and your days..." "Your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be." I think just a bit of context. Moses blesses the children of Israel in this portion of scripture. As the children of Israel approach the land of Canaan, the Lord tells Moses to go up Mount Nebo. There Moses is to view the land of Canaan, and there he was going to die. And so as Moses faces the prospect of death, he turns and blesses the children of Israel. He blesses them firstly as the whole nation. In the first five verses of Deuteronomy 33, Moses blesses the children of Israel for what God has already given them. For example, in verse 2 of that chapter, he says, "And the Lord said, 'The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand came a fiery law for them. And so he blesses the children of Israel, stating that God has given them his law. He blesses them also, talking about God's love for them. In verse 3, he says, yes, he loves the people. All his saints are in your hand. He also talks about how God shelters the children of Israel when he says, all his saints are in your hand. And then finally, in verse 5, he blesses them because the Lord is their God. He says, and he was king in Jeshurun when the leaders of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. And then from verses 6 right up to verses 25, he blesses the tribes of Israel one after the other. He blesses Judah, then he blesses Levi, he blesses Benjamin, he blesses Joseph. In verse 18, he blesses Zebulun and Issachar. In verse 20, he blesses Gad. In verse 22, he blesses Dan. In verse 23, he blesses Naphtali. And then in verse 24, he comes and blesses Asher with the words that we read. Now, Moses blesses the tribe of Asher with a blessing that I believe that every child of God must covet. He says of him in the latter part of that verse, as your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be. The word day in our text here refers rather to the events of the day, or the events that make up the day, rather than the 24-hour period of the day. Therefore, we are to understand this blessing to mean whatever the day brings, or whatever circumstances come in that day, Asher's strength would equal it, or God would provide the strength to equal the circumstances. This, I believe, is a blessing to Asher, but it is, in a very real sense, a promise to every child of God, that God would support them with grace sufficient for every circumstance in life, or that God would apportion his grace sufficient for whatever circumstances or service he calls us to. I believe that the promise is the fact that God would provide. That God would provide, regardless of the circumstances in which we are in, God will for us provide. As your days, he says, so shall your strength be. I believe we are to understand that God will provide the type and the quantity or amount of strength that is needed. Different circumstances, you will agree, need different types and amounts of strength. For example, when you think of the children of Israel, when they were going through the desert, there is something very instructive that happened to them. When they cried out for food, God sent quail but he also sent manna to them. And those, we are told, who took much when it was measured had not taken too much. Those, on the other hand, who took little had not taken too little. Let me just read Exodus chapter 16 and verse 18. And the Bible there tells us, "So when they measured it by the omers, he who had gathered much had nothing left over, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need." Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And I believe that that is how God grants grace to his children. He grants enough grace. He grants the right type of grace. I want to turn and think of five situations in which this is proved true. The first, I believe, it is in death and loss. When you lose someone, perhaps whom you have known for a very long time, or someone perhaps whom you have spent the best years of your life with, you might not be able to imagine, you cannot begin to imagine a life without them. And for some people, life seems meaningless. We see something of this in Job chapter 3, verse 20 to 24. And I think we know the story of Job very well. Job was a man who was blessed greatly of God. He was wealthy in every way. And then Job began to lose what he possessed. And finally, he lost his children. And Job says something very instructive in Job chapter 3 and verse 20. He paints a picture of someone in deep grief. This is what he says: "Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter in soul, who long for death, but it comes not, and dig for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoices exceedingly and are glad when they find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? For my sighing comes instead of my bread, and my groaning are poured out like water." Here is a man who had lost everything. A man for whom life had literally become meaningless. He says he craves for death. He longs for it. He looks for death as one looks for precious metals. A man like this will not need physical strength. Physical strength will do little for him. A man like this will need emotional strength. And I believe that when Deuteronomy chapter 33 and 25 says, "As your days, so shall your strength be," we can believe that those who are in loss, those who are in mourning will be given grace sufficient from God. They will be given the strength to live even when they lost death. Rather, even when they lost life. Perhaps you may have lost something. It might be the loss of a loved one, or the loss of a job, or something else that is precious to you. I believe that God will grant you grace sufficient. God will grant you the grace that you need in the quantities that you need it. Secondly, I would like to turn and think of a situation where we face persecution or injustice. The scriptures are full of examples of people who face persecution or injustice. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 to 38, and I'll read that very quickly. Hebrews 11, verse 35 to verse 38. We're told there that women receive their dead raised to life. Women receive their dead raised to life. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had the trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were stoned into, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute and afflicted, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. The writer of Hebrews is talking about the suffering of people for their faith. And history is replete with examples of men and women who have died for their faith. When, for example, you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you will realize that some were eaten by lions, others were burnt at the stake, others were tortured. But all these have one thing in common. God granted them grace sufficient. As their day, so their strength was. When you think of the things that Christian men and women have done over the ages, when you see the examples that are given us in the scriptures, we are bound to be shocked and amazed at their faith. But rather, let us be amazed at the God who granted them strength in their day. And let us believe that should we be called upon to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, God will give us strength in that day. Thirdly, I'd like to turn and think about how that sometimes we are called upon either to face poverty or great need. Because in His providence, God allows us to pass through poverty, may allow us to pass through poverty and great need. Unfortunately, we have a generation of Christians who are terrified of poverty and need. You have whole churches that are built around the doctrine that the Christian will be rich and will have abundance at all times. But the truth, the reality, is that sometimes we will be called to go through great need. We will be called to go through poverty. But one thing we can believe is that as our days, so shall our strength be. That if God should call us to go through such difficult times, He will grant us the grace. And we have in the scriptures multiple examples of people whom God took through times like that. If you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7, and I'll read 7 down to 24. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I might go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we might eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which is spoke by Elijah. Here in this account, we see something of the faithfulness of God. Elijah goes to a widow and says, "Make me a morsel of bread." And basically what she says is, what I have is the last of it. I want to make bread for myself and my son, and thereafter we will die, as though to say we will starve to death. But through Elijah, God blesses this widow, and God replenishes her sources of food and oil until the rain came back to the land of Israel. And I think the lesson that we learn here is the fact that God is able to sustain us. God is able to give us grace according to our needs. As the promise to Asaph, as your day, so shall your strength be. The third thing is that because of our fear of poverty, because of the fear that essentially God cannot take care of you, many a Christian has made shipwreck of their faith. In a day and time such as this, when there is so much going wrong in our land, you find Christians doing the wrong things to get themselves jobs, to get themselves into good books with the people whom they believe will grant them what they desire. But I think what we need to learn from this is the fact that God is able to give, to take care of us, even in the most difficult of times. Even when we cannot see a way how. If you had asked this lady with her little flour and oil and say, do you see the Lord taking care of you over many months? She would have said not. But let's be encouraged to trust God that as our day, so shall our strength be. And therefore, we must not compromise our faith, not for bread, not for money, not for anything. Because if we remain faithful, God will take care of us. God has shown it in the past. And it is He who says, I, the Lord your God, do not change. God does not change. And the God that took care of that widow in those difficult times, the God who Moses was thinking of when he blessed Asa and said, as your days, so shall your strength be, is the same God who is yet in control. And so, beloved brethren, let us be strong. Let us be faithful to God. But fourthly, I want to turn and think about when we face physical suffering or illness. Can we find this promise of God to be true? That as our day, so shall our strength be. Because, brethren, there are many who are going through debilitating illness and great pain, and some physical pain can be unbearable. And unfortunately, it can be unbearable both for the person suffering it and for those around the person seeing them. Oftentimes, we cry that God might take this suffering away. As we have done often, we have prayed for many that God might heal them. God may choose to heal them, but God may choose not to heal them. But this we know and are sure, that if He chooses not to heal them, this He will do. He will grant them the strength and grace to bear it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 to 9, the Apostle Paul, we are given an account of the Apostle Paul crying to God, seeking that a thorn be taken out of his flesh. And I believe that the answer that God gives to the Apostle Paul is very instructive. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 to 9. And the apostle says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might depart from me, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for your strength is made perfect in weakness.'" My grace is sufficient for you. The Lord told the Apostle Paul that his grace was sufficient for him. And I believe we are to believe that whenever God calls us to undergo any suffering, be it physical or otherwise, his grace will be sufficient for us. "For as our days, so shall our strength be." In the fifth place, when we face untold success, it is funny how that often when we think of God's grace, we think of going through difficult times. However, when you look at history, there are many examples of people who were struggling in life and their faith was vibrant. However, when they become successful, suddenly God becomes an extra thing to them. There are some who, in the pursuit of wealth and success, have made shipwreck of their faith. I think a few minutes ago I was talking about how that it is scary how that people of faith, or people who say they are of faith, are willing and dealing with such acumen that it puts the people of this world to shame. When you begin to see what Christians are doing in the pursuit of wealth, it leaves you speechless. You understand why the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Truly, it is difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." And again he says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." But I believe that just in as much as in sorrow and in difficulty, God is able to grant grace, so that even should he grant us success upon success, we will yet say that he has granted us the strength to bear it, to glorify him even with the wealth that he may have granted us. And so, in conclusion, what are we to say? All of us face different circumstances at different points in our lives. All of us face times when our faith is sorely tried. But one thing we can be sure of is that whatever comes our way, God will grant us grace sufficient. As your days, so shall your strength be. We may be presently going through loss, pain or sorrow, physical pain or illness, or some other affliction. I pray that you might know the truth of the blessings, of the blessing which Moses blessed Asher with, that your strength might equal your days. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father in heaven, want to give you thanks and praise for your faithfulness. Want to give you thanks, our Father, for the promise that comes to us, that as our days, so shall our strength be. Want to give you thanks, our Father, that in the depth of sorrow or in the height of joy, we can yet trust you to grant us grace to glorify you in our lives. Eternal God, our Father, we pray that you might aid us to continue meditating upon your word. And as we sing the last hymn and depart from this place, dear God, we pray that you might go before us. These things we pray and ask in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.